Greetings, Meltopians. Are you looking to delve deeper into the world of Meltopia? Then check out our Patreon, where you can find written mythos pieces, world maps, found footage, art, Patreon-exclusive shows, and more. Just go to patreon.com/Meltopia and join one of our tiers for access to great new content. Brave the forbidden and embrace the darkness.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Is it over? Did we do it?
I believe so. It appears to be contained.
Thank Christ. We've never
We've never encountered one so challenging before.
You worthless fucking maggots! I'm gonna tear each of you apart slowly. But before that, I'll find your families and make you watch as I do things to them that are forbidden even in hell.
I'm afraid you won't be doing any of that, demon. You're trapped.
Oh, you have no idea what I'm capable of. What? What have you done? You loathsome fleshbags! What the fuck have you done?
Don't blame us, for we're just following orders. Blame you.
And here he is, all boxed up in flesh and bone. Except, you won't be able to leave this one. Not unless the one church allows it.
Who the fuck are you?
I'm the man who captured you. You thought you were causing chaos, killing without consequence. Little did you know, you were merely following the trail of breadcrumbs I laid out for you. I anticipated your moves before you knew you'd made them. A creature as old as you, manipulated by a mere human. How humbling that must be.
Then it's you I'll start with. I'll fucking feast on your...
You'll do no such thing, creature. You'll be confined in this body until you're transferred to another, then another, and another. You're grounded, I'm afraid.
What's our next move with this, demon?
Demon? Oh, no. This entity is far more than that. This one's special. A horror from an era before the stars were lit, and unfathomable creatures waged wars.
What do you mean?
Never mind that. Inform the One Church that they may handle him as they see fit. He'll cause no more trouble.
You arrogant fucking shit! I won't be confined to this husk as if it's a prison!
I believe that's exactly what you'll do, for the time being at least. And I'll let you in on another little secret. I know what you are and what you're running from. Isn't that right, Hesperius?
You insignificant fucking worm! I'll kill you, your family, everyone you know! I'll decorate the cosmos with your entrails, boil them in the fiery lakes of Asheron! Give me your name, coward! Tell me the name of the man who wishes to suffer like no man before him!
With pleasure, creature. The name's Barnabas. Barnabas Muffet.
Waking up in a fit of rage, Wesley felt his body seething as if he were about to erupt like a volcano. He felt feverish, his blood boiling just beneath the skin. Looking at his hands, he saw that they were massive and clawed, black as the deepest night. However, they quickly shrank back to their normal size, returning to the harmless hands of a humble biologist. After collecting himself, the anger gradually subsiding, he wiped his sweat-soaked body with a towel. Then he decided to have a conversation. So now I understand. Now I know why you're so fixated on Moffat. It was a Moffat who imprisoned you. Even did it with a shit-eating grin. You weren't captured intentionally. That was all a fucking lie. Moffat manipulated you like a puppet and you can't stomach the thought. Isn't that correct, Hesperius? Wesley's head jerked abruptly, assaulted by intense pain. It was as if something was pushing against his skull, as though his brain was attempting to break free of its bony prison. The agony was unparalleled. He clamped his hands over his mouth to stifle a scream, yet the pain persisted. It was how he imagined a lobotomy would feel if the brain had pain receptors. He could feel himself starting to slip away, unconsciousness looming. Things went dark, and he found himself in pure blackness, oblivion. Then there were eyes, dozens of them, consuming the dark with a reddish-yellow glow. He could hear the movement of something colossal, tentacles of unimaginable size writhing around him like serpents. A behemoth entity loomed before him, its vastness occupying the breadth of space. He felt something coil around him and squeeze, followed by the sensation of being hoisted. He was drawn towards the multitude of radiant orbs he knew to be eyes, and he attempted to scream. But fear had stolen his voice, just as it had swiped the confidence he possessed only moments ago. Then came the voice.
What was it you were saying, little Wesley? I grow weary of your petulance, tired of your fucking little simian brain going places it's not wanted. I may be trapped in here, little Wesley, but I am not impotent. I could crush your mind, turn you into a fucking vegetable, but I'd rather not. You've seen what I can do, and I'm growing very close to smearing your friends across this whole fucking continent. Once this is all said and done, Wesley, you'll wish you'd never been born. This, I promise.
Wesley awoke for a second time, a fresh layer of sweat covering him, this time born of fear. His head throbbed, as though it had just been squeezed in a vice. He tried to clear his thoughts, but goosebumps peppered his skin as he remembered what he had seen and felt in the darkness. Hastily dressing, he exited his tent. It was as though he emerged from one nightmare to enter another. Those peculiar entities, the Umbarian, the voice had named them, were milling about, those bizarre tubers connecting them all. They maintained a humanoid form to pacify Wesley and his companions. However, the resemblance was eerie. All the features and characteristics were in the right place, but there was something off about it. It wasn't their height, it was an imperceptible flaw, as though they were wearing impeccably tailored human costumes. Yet deep down, one could sense it was a ruse. The one who seemed to be their leader approached him.
I trust you slept comfortably.
Before Wesley could respond, another one interjected.
Who cares how it slept? It is an insignificant creature, undeserving of our hospitality.
A retort came from another entity somewhere behind it.
Would you be quiet? We don't know how they'll react to your rudeness. They could possess abilities we're not aware of.
The primary Umbarian grasped at its head, seeming confused or frustrated.
Enough! They are our guests and our partners. We will not treat them as our inferiors.
Standing in awkward silence, Wesley wasn't sure whether to respond to the entity or just keep quiet. Choosing the former, he replied, I slept fine. Thank you.
That is good to hear. You can join your companions over there. They seem to be preparing to leave.
But how will we navigate? We're unfamiliar with these caverns.
These beings are helpless. How can we depend on them if they can't even navigate simple caves?
Lower your voice or they might refuse to help.
Ignoring the dissent, the main Umbarian spoke.
Worry not. We will guide and protect you on your journey out.
Wesley nodded in appreciation at the strange creature, feeling an urge to get away from its erratic presence. He made his way towards his friends who were busily packing up their gear. Can we really trust these, entities? They seem unstable.
Certainly not. But as we've discussed before, what other choice do we have?
And, one unpredictable ally is better than none. Unless they decide to kill you.
Yeah, there's that. But I'm a glass-half-full kind of guy. So I say let's give this creep show a chance, you know?
It's peculiar. I know quite a bit about Arthos, and I've never heard of such a creature. Not through any descriptions I've heard, anyway. Although Arthos is a diverse world, I don't claim to be an expert on it.
Have you ever been to Arthos?
Not personally, no. But, I do have acquaintances who have been there. One of them spent a lot of time on Kosis, one of the continents.
Intriguing.
Perhaps, but Arthos also has its share of problems. A darkness looms there as well.
May I suggest we focus on the issues of this world before we concern ourselves with another's?
It's a fair point. Are we set to go, River?
River nodded in affirmation and moved to the front of the group. Wesley turned around to see the Umbarian entity right behind him. I guess we're ready to move. Lead the way.
Certainly.
At that moment, all of the humanoid figures came together into one amorphous mass, resuming its largely transparent aesthetic, its insides on full display. It extended tendril-like appendages and elevated its mass into a large cavity in the cave ceiling. The entity's vastness was audible, shifting and moving all around them. Wesley realized they had been interacting with only a fragment of this entity, merely the tip of a dark, amorphous iceberg.
This way.
The entity's voice echoed from the left tunnel. The group proceeded, surrounded by abandoned structures, relics of a past civilization. Wesley recalled the Umbarian's claim of dominance over these caverns. He wondered if during its 16 years of isolation, it had exterminated any and all life that had once inhabited these ruins. Occasionally, the gargantuan creature, or creatures, Wesley wasn't sure which, would command them to halt. In those moments, the echoing wails of the centipede-like creatures, along with other unfamiliar and unnerving sounds, would reach their ears. Wesley found himself relieved not to have met the sources of those other sounds. However, he couldn't shake the eerie curiosity surrounding the absence of carcasses after each encounter. He couldn't fathom that the creature was mindful enough to tidy up after its kills. So, what was happening to the remains? Wesley dismissed this troubling thought, his mind having already absorbed enough horrors for the day, and resumed his journey through the stone labyrinth. They had been trudging for hours without any indication of an exit. Anxiety gnawed at Wesley, the possibility that the Umbarian was leading them into a trap looming in his mind. But why the theatrics? The creature could have easily annihilated them at their first encounter. No, the idea of a trap didn't seem plausible.
So untrusting, little Wesley. The creature is surely keeping information from you, but it does not intend to kill you and your friends. Yet.
Oh, we're talking now? I was under the impression that you had grown weary of my primate brain wandering where it's unwanted.
I do as I wish. If I desire to communicate with you, I will. If I choose to reduce your brain to a mushy pulp, I'll do that too.
Something tells me there's a good reason you don't do that. I don't think you can operate without me, or else you would have done it a long time ago.
Perhaps, perhaps not. But I do know that I can operate without your dear friends. After all, it's not their head I'm trapped in. Although, I'd be more than happy to show you the contents of their skull.
So you admit it. You are trapped. You fucking lied about being purposely caught.
I suppose you got me, little Wesley. You caught me in a fib. But revelation is a two-sided blade, and... oh, are you in for some doozies? And when you finally realize the harrowing thing that is your life, I'll bask in the knowledge that you're powerless to change anything. For I am forever, Wesley. I'll outlive you in that roiling ball of fire in the sky.
Yeah, and when should I expect these so-called revelations?
Oh, you'll know it when it comes. You won't be able to miss it. Memory Lane is going to be a bumpy trip for you, Wesley Morgan.
The malicious jibes of the voice filled Wesley with an icy dread. A fear that chilled his blood as if swept by an arctic wind. As the nights passed, he was haunted by increasing dreams, memories from the abhorrent entity, Hesperius. He was nearly trembling with apprehension. The sinister smile of Hesperius, like a Cheshire cat's grin, seemed to beam in the pitch-black recesses of his mind. Wesley made an effort to banish these disturbing thoughts, his sole coping mechanism for the impending dreadful epiphany. He focused on the journey instead, the ghostly stone cities that had likely fallen to the ravages of this Umbarian creature. After a few more hours, a dim glimmer of light began to seep in from afar. They were nearing the end of the caverns. Suddenly, the alien entity that had been guiding them voiced out.
At the end of this tunnel is your terminus. From there, follow the tails of smoke eating the sky. Those are the dread pits of Dahir. You will need to traverse them to get to Destra.
And, what exactly should we expect at these, dread pits?
For fuck's sake, I wish I could understand what they're talking about. All I hear is a mashup of fucking syllables.
The Dread Pits, if navigated properly, shouldn't be a concern.
And if not navigated properly?
Then you will need to fight for your lives. The things that dwell there are thought to be the spawn of Amara, the prince's daughter. While her kingdom lies to the west, she has situated her children to the east, mostly for geopolitical reasons. The main one being to keep an eye on the Belfine and occasionally lessen their numbers. But as we've said, traversal should be uneventful if you follow our directions.
Okay. I hope the hell you're right.
We will be in touch. Good luck.
With that, Wesley could hear a colossal shifting of weight deep within the cavern, stalactites trembling precariously above them. The quaking eventually subsided, and their alien guide departed. The group continued down the tunnel until they emerged from the cave's mouth. Upon exiting the eerie, subterranean world, they were greeted by the familiar sounds of rain and thunder. However, the ground was blanketed with mist, a shroud of ethereal fog that rolled across the landscape like tumbleweeds.
So, which way do we go?
Wesley looked around, the darkened sky cluttered with thunderheads, and the swirling gloom masking the ground made it challenging to determine specifics. Between flashes of lightning, he spotted pillars of smoke reaching into the clouds, resembling gigantic gray pylons holding the sky aloft. That way. We need to head towards the rising smoke. That's where the Dread Pits of Dair are. Ugh, splendid name. Can't they name anything pleasant around here, like, Happy Hollow or Pleasant Grove?
I guess to name something nice, there have to be nice things to name. I get a feeling that this land, Gion, is lacking in that department.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There are a few hours of daylight left. We should make the most of them and head in that direction.
Upon Riva's silent nod, the signal for the others to follow suit, the group began their trek eastward. A smoky haze engulfed their lower bodies as they treaded through the mist. Occasionally, they heard rustling of tall grass as creatures skittered away, though some seemed to trail them. It was a slow meandering, a methodical skirting of their personal space that felt not only deliberate, but predatory. Riva was the first to notice, his gaze trying to penetrate the misty curtains for any sign of life. However, whenever he paused, the rustling ceased, as if the stalking creatures sensed his suspicions. This carried on for several hours until Moffat voiced his exhaustion.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm exhausted. I say we make camp over there by those rocks and trees over there.
We still have about 30 minutes of light. Can you push yourself a little more?
Regrettably, I can't, dear fellow. Hiking has never been the Moffat's forte.
Somewhat reluctantly, Vorn and Riva conceded, and the group began setting up camp. The long walk had indeed taken its toll on them, prompting most to retreat to their tents early, fatigued from the challenging journey. Given the unsettling sounds they had heard earlier, Riva assumed first watch, wary of the unknown entities that may have been trailing them. Wesley, on the other hand, unrolled his sleeping bag and crawled in, his fear of nightmares momentarily keeping him awake. However, in this instance, weariness overpowered fear, and sleep claimed him. Wesley jolted upright suddenly, the chorus of nocturnal creatures chirping and howling in the distance providing a haunting score. He was glad of it. It would make what he was about to do more pleasurable. He slowly unzipped his tent, the tiny metallic teeth quietly detaching from each other like the unclasping maw of an alligator. His eyes pierced the darkness more intensely than any other creatures, he believed, even those native to this continent. He noticed that Riva had withdrawn to his tent, replaced by a slumbering Salvatore. The man seemed to be inviting his own demise. Wesley would be happy to oblige him, but his focus was on different prey. He slipped from his tent with a practiced grace, and then flipped out his pocket knife with a preternatural dexterity, slowly making his way through the night like a nocturnal shark swimming through ebon waters. He passed the tents of other prey, but his appetite was singular and ancient. He crept slowly towards the last tent, a swath of moonlight showing him the way like it was destined, ordained. He would keep his word from all those years ago. The Moffat would suffer like no man before him.
Crimland is a Maltopia production. Today's episode was written by Stephen Anzalone. The episode was edited by Walker Kornfeld. Sound production and editing was performed by Stephen Anzalone. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Maltopia. That's M-A-E-L-T-O-P-I-A. And if you'd like to know more about Grimland and contribute to its nightmarish expansion, visit us at www.patreon.com/Maltopia, where you can gain access to all sorts of art, mythologies, stories, and more. For more information about Grimland and the world of Maltopia, visit us at maltopia.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.